Can I just take a few minutes to tell you why I like South Fork, why I love South Fork? Do you remember about 2 years ago, we had gone fully online, we came back, we started to come back in person, and we were singing with recorded music, and everybody was like, whoa, this is tough. But somehow we kind of grew to sing and encourage with one another. And a little while ago, we took the recorded music away, and we were singing to one another, and it was like, whoa, this is tough. But we've grown to really embrace that and appreciate that, and I'm so thankful for our song service and for the men that are leading us in that. I'm so thankful that last Sunday, we had two guys, I don't know if you know this, they were stuck way outside in the back, but Mike and Caleb were out there grilling all morning long. I mean, as soon as services were over, the grills were fired up, and hamburgers and hot dogs were being cooked and served, and the line just kept going and going and going and going. People were coming back for seconds and thirds, and I don't know how many times they came back, but they just kept us fed. And as soon as services were over, many of you jumped right up, you pushed the chairs aside, you started setting up tables, you took a few outside so that guests could eat out there, and everybody just started to pitch in. Joe had the whole kitchen running. Bless her heart, she has family coming in for Easter, and they also got to participate in serving. It was just a wonderful example of everybody jumping in and serving one another, and I'm so thankful for that. I want to show you this picture this morning of two of our shepherds' wives, Lisa and Ann Cannon. And they are cooking the first cooked meal at the Ronald McDonald House since COVID. And our elders' wives are in there serving and leading and participating in that. Isn't that cool? There you go, yeah. What a blessing it is. I don't know if you know this or not, but we should. It is a blessing to be a part of a congregation from top to bottom, bottom to top, however you want to look at the organizational chart. Shepherds, shepherds' wives, deacons, deacons' wives, members, church family, visitors, guests, wherever that is, up and down, people jumping in and serving. There is a desire to bless one another, and I think that's something special and unique here at South Fork. We have this vision, this shared vision for what we want to accomplish and how we want to grow together. And I'm kind of reminded of this time when my boys, they were in marching band. Real quickly, how many of us have been in band? Just band, any sort of band. All right, a few of us. How many of us have been in marching band? All right, very good. So that is not my forte, but I was watching, and they have to keep one eye on the little sheet of paper that is right there at the end of their instruments while they're learning some things, and then they have to keep one eye on where they're marching or how they're not going to run into other people. And you have to have two eyes on these things. I went to the eye doctor a little while ago, and they shoot something like a rocket into your eye. And you walk away, and you're like, I am seeing two of everything. And they're like, oh, that's good. Double vision sometimes, or two different visions is sometimes good. It helps us to see some things that just don't narrow our focus. It broadens our understanding and our sense of what is going on. This morning, I want to drive our attention towards Matthew 22, where Jesus shares this double vision, or this shared vision of how we are to live and to act. And I think it's so important for us as we think about really our vision for this church. Our vision, we've said this year, is this: that with teaching and training, we, the South Fork, our South Fork family, we aim to invest our three resources. Now tell me if these three resources sound familiar. Our time, talent, and treasure. All right, some of us are picking it up. Time, talent, treasure. We're going to invest these three resources in life with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We understand that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit is at work. And so we're going to invest so that the whole church, that's from the youngest to the oldest, the male to the female, from the newest member to the oldest member here, The one who has walked in the door for the first time, the one who has been here for decades. We, the whole church, is empowered and equipped to share the whole gospel. Not just my verses, not just the things that I want to point out and poke you and change you, but the whole gospel to the whole world. We want to see the greatness of what God has in store for this church. To be a light in our community, to be a light in our world, to let His Word transform our lives, starting with us first. And this shared vision is inspiring and encouraging and building us up as we move forward. Now, I don't know about you, but I like, and I say this and it does sound a little bit creepy, but it's not creepy, okay? I like to watch people. Do you go to the mall or to a shopping center and you just kind of watch some people? Kara and I went to this craft fair yesterday, and it's just hundreds of people marching around, and we come in all sizes and shapes and personalities, and there are some people that are just, they are on a mission. It doesn't matter who's in their way. They are going, going, going. Others are just, you know, laid back. It doesn't even matter which way they go. They can just kind of zigzag, and they're just having fun, enjoying. I just love to watch people. Especially sometimes we're out with our family, and I'll watch and I'll see a couple come in. Have you ever done this? And it doesn't matter their age, but you kind of guess how long they've been together. You know, a couple comes in and they are just arm in arm together, just, oh, sit right here, and they sit down and, oh, yeah, ice cream, that'd be fun. And, you know, they just are giggling and laughing and oohing and aahing. And then there's another couple that walks in and, you know, he goes to one table, she goes to another. Then they realize, oh, we got to sit at the same table. You watch them, and maybe they don't even have much conversation. What are you going to get? Yeah, I'm going to get the same thing too. And that's about all that they share. And you just know that they've been together for a long time. I watch people as they come in and out of worship services or gatherings. And sometimes we're the same way. Sometimes we are just so giddy. This is so great. Did you know what Glenn was saying this morning in class, which really challenges us? I mean, if we had that 20 years ago in the church that I grew up in, can you imagine the difference? And they're just so excited about all of that. Can you imagine somebody like David getting up and leading a communion where we all say that here I am, I'm sinful, and people are just passionate about what's being shared and the scriptures that are being taught and the things that they're learning, and they're sharing that and enthusiastic. Then I also watch people come in and out of church and worship service and devotionals and gatherings, even potlucks. Yeah. Same old songs again, huh? Did you see that new song we're singing? It was written in 1973. I don't know why we're singing it now. You know, and they just don't interact with much people, very many people. They don't want to be involved. They already know all the rules, and they're just looking for someone to point it on, to blame on. Sometimes when we watch people, maybe we see ourselves. Look at Matthew chapter 22 with me, starting in verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. They were ready for their show. They were ready to tangle with Jesus. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Pause right there. The setup is this gotcha moment for Jesus. They are about to ensnare him after he has foiled so many other leaders' plans. But let me tell you what's going to happen. If you read this as one of those crusty old dating, I already know it all kind of stuff, here's what you're going to see. Jesus wins the argument. If you're going to look at this in fresh eyes, you're going to see something different, you're going to find this isn't a test for Jesus. All those fingers are pointing right at me. Wow. Watch this. This test for Jesus. See what happens. Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Everybody who's accomplished that, would you please stand up? Okay, so we are kind of all in the same boat, aren't we? This is what Jesus is saying. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, all the things that the teachers were teaching, they hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If I'm talking to a crowd of Christ followers, does that define who we are? I mean, that's the answer, and we know that Jesus wins this test, but is that the answer for me? Is that really what I am focused on? Do I have one eye on fully loving God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind? And do I love others? Do I love you like I love myself? Let me just start right there with that. We're going to talk about this a little bit more next week. But there's something about me, Matt Huddleston, in which my mind goes through a thought process in which, on occasion, I drop the ball. I miss something. Something slides by and I mess up. I didn't accomplish all that I was supposed to. You know what goes through my mind? Well, I was busy. Well, it really wasn't my fault because these things happened. Well, you know, if I had a little bit more time, if I had just... That's unrealistic expectations. Whatever it is, start giving myself a little bit of grace and a little bit of condition that where I failed is not so bad. But have you ever done this? Like if I forget an appointment, it's because my mind was distracted. But if you forget an appointment with me, I don't think you're distracted. I think you just don't care about me. I think you are lazy. I think you, and then my list gets really, really long about the things that you mess up with. Jesus says, love others like you love yourself. What a challenging word. But he starts by this, that we're to love God. Do we love God? Flip all the way back to the beginning of the Bible in Exodus, second book. Exodus chapter 34. And let's look how God describes himself. I've shared this with you before. The number one greatest example of self-description of who God is found in the second book, in the 34th chapter. So go to Exodus chapter 34. It's found in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Detailing the 9 characteristics of God just right before the 10 commandments. So the number one example, self-description of who God is found in the second book, in the 34th chapter, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, describing the 9 characteristics of God right before the 10 commandments. Exodus 34, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 says this, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. This is Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, with great emphasis, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. And we want to wrap our arms around this God. We want to have him fully embracing us, this loving, generous, caring God. Verse 7, maintaining love to thousands and forgiven wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generation. And this is how God describes himself. And Moses bows down at once and worships this God. For there is no other God above this God. Jesus says the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Is that really who we are? Is that what we aim to accomplish in our life? Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Brothers and sisters, we know that we have lived a delusional life. We have failed to really seek God with all of our heart, to put him at a pure, true high point within our life. TJ just shared this past week about a passage in Psalms 51 where David is crying out, "God, create in me a clean heart. Make me right again. Sustain me with your spirit." It challenges us to really look at our own heart of who we are. What is our passion and purpose in life? Is it God-focused or self-focused? Will we really stand in front of the mirror and let God convict us today? Love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. The word soul here is this Greek word. It refers back to the breath that is in us. It gives us an understanding that God instilled in us the breath of life. That God's spirit is also called a breath or a wind. That our soul is this movement within us. That all that we breathe in, all that we breathe out, let it be God. Far too often, we number our days just by the number of breaths that we take. And not the things that really take our breath away. And do the things that take our breath away really reflect the Spirit of God? Or are we in awe and fascination of this world and the shiny things that glimmer for just a moment? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with your breath, every part of your being. And love him with your mind. I appreciate you for being here. I appreciate the conversations that we're going to have in just a few moments as we start to go our separate ways. Maybe some of us will find ourselves at a lunch table in someone's home or at a restaurant. And the conversations and encouragement and connections that we have within this family are a blessing. But as we get too far down the road today or into this week, are the things that we think about godly and God-purposed? Is the music that we're listening to, are the shows that we're watching, are the entertainments and the values that we keep putting in front of us, in our mind, godly, leading us to something of great value? Are we paying attention to what is going on? One of my favorite little commercials goes back a ways to this company that is selling learning language on audio or CDs. And so they're encouraging people to learn a second language. And so they start off with this young cadet who's in the German military or Coast Guard. And he's learning this training of using the radio and an operator. Finally, the day comes that he's there controlling the radio. And his English is a little bit broken, and his mind is wandering a little bit. And the call comes in. This is the USS so-and-so. We're sinking. Mayday, mayday, we're sinking. And the Russian operator hits the microphone. Hello? This is operator so-and-so, German Coast Guard. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I mean, isn't it the same thing that around us this world is perishing? Around us we have friends and family. And if we can be as truthful, we too continue to put the mud and the muck into our world. What are you thinking about? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And love one another like you love yourself. I don't know about you, but I see this as a great challenging verse for me and my life and my church family. Loving God with all the distractions that happen. Loving one another with all the differences that we have. Men, how do we love the women who think and feel and operate differently? Women, how do you love the men of this church who have a different priority and schedule of life and purpose? Isn't that a great challenge within most marriages? Communicating and understanding how the opposite sex feels and understands. Within our church, I'm supposed to love these people as I love myself. I'm supposed to speak a language that is foreign to me so that they will feel that love. I look through this room, and no offense, but there's some of you that got a little more gray hair than I do. But then there's also some of you that got a lot more hair than I do. We got some youngers and some olders, don't we? Olders, just tell me with a little bit of a yes or an amen. Times have changed, haven't they? The way we used to communicate is not the way that we communicate today, is it? So you know what, olders? Just keep speaking the same way. I mean, just slap these kids upside one day and watch them run right out of the church. Or let's love them like we're supposed to love ourselves. Because young people, the older people don't want to have a conversation about what is fat or... I ran out of all the hip words. Fat. Fleek. That, I know, I'm just throwing them out there, so I'm making sure that there's a generation gap. Do we love one another as we love ourselves? Will you really, and I'm going to speak right here, teens, will you love the older generation as you love yourself? Olders, will you love the kids the teens who have a style and a phrase that is different than your own. Not just so that we get along, but that we are one together. Not conforming, but being formed together. God calls the Republicans and the Democrats. We got some of those in our room, don't we? To love one another as you want to be loved. This question that Jesus has asked is such a revelation to who he is, but also to who we are. We're going to sing this song, Lord, reign in me. And the word is reign, like the king would reign over his kingdom. But I also want you to think about this as a rain that's coming down. Lord, reign in me, wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Not just a little bit, but wash me fully. Lord, reign in me. Take control of my life. Cleanse me and make me new. As we want to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And we want to love one another. John would say, you can't really love the Father if you don't love one another. So let us put this into practice this week. Let us see about making God our number one priority. If you need help and counsel, our shepherds are here. Our office is open throughout the week. Let's not let another moment go by where God falls from truly the number one to something else. Because he is the Lord, the one above all. Let's sing the song together.
Lord, take